I wish I kind of lived in the olden days, so to speak, the Elizabethan area where they had, you know, where they talk Shakespearean kind of talk. As I was pouring myself a cup of coffee this morning before I started the show, and I spilled it all over the kitchen counter, and I said, oh, crap. Then I realized, had I been in another place in time and spilled my coffee, I would have said, my cup runneth over. Sounds so much better.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam.
Grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam, and it's a pleasure always to be in your company, whatever your company is. Always nice to be amongst you, to be warmed by your cockles, to be hugged by your endeavors and your emotions. The hell am I talking about? Well, it's Tuesday. It's a lovely, lovely Tuesday, no matter where you live. Well, it could be raining or it could be a tornado. I don't know. This is a nationwide thing, so you can't say it's lovely. What are you talking about? It's raining buckets outside, Van Dam. By the way, that's what you sound like to me. We have a great show today, I will tell you. I'm quite excited about it because we have some interesting guests and some wonderful things to discuss and talk about, some incredible fodder and not very bad mutter going on here. How are you doing? Good to see you. May I say something right off the top of the show here? You are one incredible person. You are. You really are. And it's not just because you spend the time on a regular basis listening to this program, which I'm sure you do, right? Huh? It's not that. It's just that I think you're great. You know, it takes a special person to listen to this program, and you're that person. You're smart. You have an incredible ability to listen and to appreciate. You're caring. You donate to all kinds of things that you don't even understand what they are. You're saving whales and puppies and little children in poverty. You're doing it all yourself, man. It's just you. And your heart is huge. That's why you're seeing a cardiologist. But that's not a bad thing when it comes to opening yourself to other people. You wear your heart on your sleeve. Or you have a heart on. I don't know which it is. Heart on your sleeve, heart on, I don't know. But one way or the other, you're a special person. No, it doesn't take a special bus to understand that. It just takes what you have. Intuition. And a propensity to enjoy the finer things in life, such as this program. But it doesn't stop there. Not only are you beautiful inside, you are also beautiful outside. I've seen you inside, and you are very beautiful. When you step outside, you're even prettier. And whether you be a man or a woman or a transvestite, you still are beautiful. Maybe it's your long flowing hair, or if you're bald, the lack of it. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you express yourself, that need to be understood. Well, I understand you. I understand you better than anybody. Well, not better than anybody. Actually, I don't quite understand you at all, but it's not a prerequisite, though. So that's okay. One of your greatest features are your feet. They hold you up when you're down. They put you down when you're up. They support your weight. They take you on every day. They're ready to receive whatever you dish out. They say it takes a mighty person to fill your shoes. That's not true, really. It takes you to fill your own shoes, because other people wouldn't fit in your shoes and they'd fall down. That's how special you really are. Yeah. It's something about your personality. It's the kindness and the good thoughts that you put out. People are like drawn to you like a magnet because you are so incredible. And when you listen to a radio show or a podcast or an internet radio thing, you need to listen to shows that get you. I get you. You have the intelligence to rule the world, and I appreciate you. So please continue to listen to my show, because no one else appreciates you like I do. Thank you.
Here's what the internet is good for. Porn, 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 really weird porn, funny cat videos, porn, and the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting. You know, when you need a little break from all those funny cat videos. Those things can really do a number on your wrist.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
What are you wearing?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
You know, it's not that I'm a pervert. It's more so that this is a change of seasons. It wasn't long ago we were going from summer to fall, or autumn, as some of you call it. And that autumn-fall thing was a very short period of time. Now, if you live certain parts of the country, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, although you are intelligent because you listen to this show. But you don't know what I'm talking about, because leaves don't fall off palm trees. Not that I've seen in my lifetime. So, and I understand why they call it fall, because that's all that happens. Shit falls from the trees. That's about it. You rake it up, and what a wonderful season that is. Although I do love it. I love the fall colors, the blues and the greens and the blacks and the Hispanics. Everybody. I do. I love everybody. So that's not the point. I don't know what the point is. The point is that now we're changing and we're getting close to the winter months, which are horrendous in the Northeast and in various parts of the country. It's like the plague is going to come every single year, but you just don't know how much it will cause death and destruction. It's an awful time of year. The days are about 6 hours long. Have you noticed that? You get up in the morning, it's dark. You drive home at night, it's really, really dark. And it's like there's no sunlight. It's the opposite of summer, where I think I'm going to go to the beach and catch some sun. In this time of year, it's like, I think I'm going to wake up for a couple hours and catch some sun because it's going down in like 3 hours. It's a horrible thing. Now, I kind of like it. I like it when it gets dark at 4 o'clock. I wish it got dark at 1 o'clock in the afternoon because it's time to go to bed. I like it. I like having my dinner by candlelight, which you can't really do in the summer. I like this. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I guess I just like darkness or something. I like it. I like it when people are where they belong. When it's sunny outside and it stays like the sun's up until like 8:30 at night, it's like people go home. Stop being outside. Go into your house and shut up. That's what I'm about. So when it gets dark at 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon, it's lovely because people already are, you drive home and you stay there. You know, you just close your door, get in your house, turn the lights on and shut up. You know, I love that. So what does that have to do with what you're wearing? It's confusing. The reason I don't like the winter is that it's freezing outside and you have to wear sweaters and sweatshirts and parkas and no parkas and gigantic winter coats and bubble coats and fleeces. You got to wear fleeces and sheepskins and you're still cold. But then you walk inside a building like a shopping center or something, or you go to a function or something, you know, and it's boiling inside because they put the heat on in these places, and now I'm sweating like a pig. So I call it the opposite Florida effect. In Florida, you walk around with the skimpiest t-shirt possible in the summer because in Florida, it's like 100 degrees outside and everything is painted pink and white. The cement is all pink and white, so it reflects. Like, it's just like, wow, I can't even see anymore. You can't. It's hot and you sweat like a pig. And I've seen pigs. They don't sweat as much as you do. And then you walk into a building, a movie theater, a store, whatever, the restaurant, and it's freezing inside. It's like 20 degrees below zero. It's like an ice bar in there. And you have to wear a parka. And so you got to carry a sweater around, even though it's 100 degrees outside, because in a split second, as soon as you walk indoors, it's 20 degrees. It's over air conditioned. I'm surprised that people move to Florida, because that's the place that will literally kill you. It is. The extreme temperature from one second to the other is enough to kill a senior in his tracks, or her tracks, sorry. It's the opposite in the winter in the Northeast, because you wear tons of clothing and tons of sweaters and turtlenecks and everything possible, layers and layers upon layers upon layers. And then you walk into a public place and it's like 80 degrees inside. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm sweating. It's just in this society, can we just find like a point where it's not going to be that different anymore? Like in Florida, do you have to set your temperature inside buildings at 20 degrees? Make it like 78 or something. Then it's not so harsh. And in the winter here in the Northeast, you know, when you walk into a restaurant, you know, it doesn't have to be 90 degrees with all the heat blasting. No, you don't understand. You keep it down like at 68 degrees, maybe 70 degrees or that magic 69 degrees, whatever. We are a technological society, but we can't get the temperatures straight. They fluctuate too much. That's all I wanted to say. Have a good day.
Please be quiet. 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 Please.
shut up.
Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Anyway, I have a landscaper. I'm enjoying the finer things in life. I don't mow my lawn anymore. I've spent my entire life mowing a lawn. When I was old enough to mow, and I think I was, or it was Larry or Curly, I don't recall. I think I was like 8 or 9 years old, and my father had this push mower. Most of you don't know what a push mower is. It's a lawnmower without a motor. You push it, and the wheels turn, and the blade turns when the wheels turn. And it's very exhausting and very stupid. But that's what we had when I was growing up. And my father never mowed the lawn. My mother would never mow the lawn. My mother would never mow the lawn. Oh, no. Ladies didn't mow back then. Oh, no. Don't you even go there. And my father was a lazy bastard. As much as I thought he was a fine man, he never mowed. So he used slave labor, which was me. And I mowed that lawn every single Saturday. And I don't remember any financial remuneration other than the fact that my father said I could continue to live. So I mowed, and I mowed all the way through my teenage years. I even went to other houses to try to make money to mow. And I did that. And then when I became old enough, then I moved to New York City and had an apartment. There's no mowing in an apartment, by the way. And that was one of the great things about having an apartment. I didn't have to mow. So I had like a number of years with no mowing. And then I got a house, a couple of houses in my lifetime, actually three of them, not at the same time. And I mowed. Every Saturday I mowed. Now the technology of having a motor, they call it a power mower. I even had the mowers with the long cords, and man, did you have to have a long cord to mow a lawn. But I did it for a while because they were cheaper, the electric mowers. stupid, but cheaper. And I mowed every Saturday. And the better I was doing in life, the bigger my lawn was. And as soon as I finished mowing, I would look at the point where I started mowing like 3 hours earlier, and I said to myself, that shit's growing already. Oh my God, I've just done all of this, and it's already starting to come back. This is one of the most futile things one does in their life. You do it, and when you're done, you realize, I soon have to do it again. It never ends. And I mowed, and I mowed, and I mowed, and I mowed for decades. I mowed continually without stopping. Well, this time, I decided, look, I'm getting older. I don't need to mow anymore. I hire a landscaper, because everybody around me kind of does too. I've done my mowing. I've done it. I think one of the things about getting a little bit older in life is you can say to yourself, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not doing it. So have somebody mow. So the leaves come down. Now I have to have a final mowing. This is my final mowing of the season, because the leaves have to mulch up and stuff like that. I don't really know what I'm talking about, to be honest with you. All I'm telling you is that there comes a point in your life, whether you have money or you don't have money, where you say to yourself, enough of this shit. I'm done with it. I'm not doing this anymore. I live in Massachusetts. Thank you so much. Keep your applause till the end of the program. I live in Massachusetts. And there is a garbage truck. It's, what do you call these things now? Sanitation trucks? Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a garbage truck, and it comes by every Monday and picks up my garbage. For them, it's like mowing. We picked up everybody's garbage. Now we got to get ready to start doing it again. They got more garbage. My God, how does this happen? I thought we'd just pick it up once and that would be it for life. Well, no, it's every week. So I get it. You know, I understand what they go through. There's some towns around me where they don't have sanitation truck pickup. You have to take your garbage, wrap it up nicely in a big black plastic bag thing, garbage bag. You put it in the back of your car like a passenger, and you drive down to the dump a couple of times a week. You get out of your car. You get your garbage bags, the passengers, your garbage passengers. You get the garbage bags. You get them out, and you throw them into the dump. And the funny thing is that people actually do this. What year is this? 2000 whatever? It's I don't know. I lost my calendar. I know when it is. It's 2000 something. And it's just amazing that people actually take their garbage and put it in the back seat of their car and drive it somewhere. And it's like, well, wow, do you realize you're driving your garbage around? It's just odd to me. All right, garbage bags, get in the back now. No talking now. I don't want to have to turn around and start slapping you bags. It's amazing to me. But anyway. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. I have a very interesting thing coming up here. And I want you to listen to it. This is a survey that's been taken. As you know, Black Friday was Friday, duh. Cyber Monday was Monday, duh. We already have numbers in as to how successful those particular situations were. And let's find out. This is kind of fascinating. Let's speak to our guest here. Hello, Tony.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Tony Zito is CEO of Rigdon Marketing, and they join us now. And we're talking about holiday shopping and what to expect and how to maneuver through this holiday season purchase-wise. And I guess with the onslaught of smartphones, a lot of people are using those?
Yeah, we've seen a huge increase in the usage of smartphones, not just for shopping, but to actually complete the shopping purchase. And that's been a big shift this year.
Let me ask you right off, Tony, how secure indeed are smartphones as compared to internet in the home and that kind of thing?
Well, they're just as safe. I think that you run the risk when you're on others' Wi-Fi environments, but if you're using your cellular Wi-Fi, there's only a slightly increased risk, and you're typically using an application like Apple Pay or something along those lines that has your payment information stored already. So it's not as though you're always typing in your credit card information on the fly. So it's relatively safe.
Now, how updated is the information in your marketing survey as Black Friday and Cyber Monday have just completed just like now? Do we already have numbers in on that?
We do have numbers, yeah. So we saw some big increases this year. We expected it on Black Friday. Mm-hmm. We expected it on Cyber Monday. 14% increase in shopping purchases. And for some reason, retailers as high as 30 or 40% increase on Black Friday. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, again, we saw really significant results where 37% higher.
Wow. Wow.
So it continues to expand dramatically.
Yeah.
And I think it's a bit large part of it is mobile.
Yeah, probably.
It's driving that.
Yeah. So that large increase in those large numbers, have to take away from something else, and I assume that would be the brick and mortar shopping experience.
I guess. That's correct. That is correct. Initially, we saw it takes away from both the typical shopping that would take place on a desktop computer or laptop. It's also taken some of that traffic, and it has been for years. That's the primary place where it's been taking business. But actually, in this year, we've seen the most dramatic sort of decrease in on Black Friday in foot traffic to brick and mortar stores. So it really has started to carve into all the different channels approaches.
Hey, Tony, let me ask you, as a marketing expert, is this, I mean, that's good news for the smartphone world. Mm-hmm. It's kind of bad news for real estate and commercial real estate and shopping centers, I guess. I mean, do you think that'll, in the future, have an effect on how many physical stores we actually see around our country?
Well, I think today that what happens is I don't think that brick and mortar has started to sort of tie together in a true online to offline way. You see some, they call it pick and ship, where you order your product and then pick it up in the store. These are some of the ways that retailers are trying to tie the online experience together with their offline stores. However, there's a lot they can do with merchandising to improve their in-store experience, and they can learn and gather a lot of that data through their digital channel. So although it will have an impact, there's no question that it, in the long term it will have an impact on brick and mortar in terms of, you know, the way we think of it today. It's still going to be the most important and marketing or distribution channel that retails, particularly in fashion and apparel. It'll still be really important to them. So the key for them is to learn, from a merchandising standpoint, what consumers are researching and make sure they promote those products in store.
Would there be a time where brick-and-mortar stores are simply living catalogs where they don't really stock all that much because you can get it online delivered to the store to your home within a day or two anyway? So stores will just be like window shopping but not bring it home things? Will that happen?
Yeah, I think there's some. We have a ways to go there. One of the most, difficult parts of that is getting the fitting right. There's still something to say today about having clothes on and trying them on before you buy them. Certainly the rate of return is significantly lower. And if you've had a negative experience with that, you're inclined not to do it much, no matter how aggressive you are. So they have to get the fitting right. And some standards in place around that. One piece of clothing fits different than another, and so it can be difficult for a consumer to make a purchase online.
Purchase.
But that stuff is coming, so it's only a matter of time.
Clothing is like a whole different ballgame. I love to get things delivered to my home, but I hate to return things through the mail. That's like the biggest pain in the world. And sometimes I actually don't buy online because of that, because I'm not sure of the product and I don't want to have to go through that. Anyway, how can we get more information about what the trends are and where we're going and what this marketing actually does for us?
Yeah, there's a lot available actually through us, through Rakuten Marketing. We publish reports throughout the holiday season and just about every quarter on consumer trends, digital trends, and then there's a wealth of information from other research companies. And almost any day that you wake up this year and do a search for consumer trends or shopping trends, you're going to find a lot of insight and research. Digital is a very data-driven a part of our world, and so there's a lot of data available at your fingertips online. So easy to get your hands on that information. Yeah.
And the data is good for certainly for consumers, but for businesses, it's like crucial. It's part of the deal.
It is critical. The benchmarking data is really helpful for them to know how they're performing compared to their peers. Mm-hmm. And then you know, looking at the shopping data and trends to determine what promotions to run, et cetera.
Yeah.
Really important as
Absolutely.
Well.
Tony, one more question, as you're the guru sure. of marketing here. What do you foresee for the holiday season? Increase over last year or flat?
Yes, certainly an increase year over year. Better than expected. I think we'll come in that range that I mentioned before, in the 14 to 15%, mm-hmm. Maybe higher when all is said and done, in terms of overall wow. spending increase. With some segments of the industry up as high as 35 to 40% year over year.
So that's
it's been a good season.
Yeah, certainly better than last year or over the previous year.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Well, and you know, and a little bit shocking because of the slowness leading up to the season.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say we were surprised, but we were. We were optimistic, and our optimism was met with results. So that's good news.
Wonderful. Hey, he's Tony Zito. He knows everything there is to know. And once again, that's true. Once more, where we can visit to get more information about this. It's just go to your website.
Yeah, you can. Did you say where to find more information?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, sir. You can just go to Rakuten Marketing, which is RAKUTEN marketing.com.
Perfect.
And we have case studies and press releases and the like there.
Great. Hey, this is very interesting. I appreciate the time today.
You bet.
Take care.
You bet.
Take care, Tony.
You bet. Take Bye-bye. Care. Okay.
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But I recently hung up my boxing gloves to open the area's favorite new Italian restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Right, Headshots. This time of year, everyone is getting ready for their holiday parties. What better way to celebrate Arbor Day?
Christmas, Bobby.
Christmas, right. Celebrate Flag Day.
Christmas.
With a feast from Headshots. We'll deliver food that will not only knock you out, but will be the highlight of your Memorial Day
Christmas, Bobby.
Christmas table. Or perhaps you celebrate St. Swithin's Day.
That one would be Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. Why not try our 8 days of manicotti menorah? We've got the left-right stuff to make every party a success, whether it's Bastille Day,
Christmas,
Victory over Japan Day,
Hanukkah,
or Kwanzaa Mananaka.
Okay, we're just gonna let that one go.
Make sure your holiday event is a technical knockout with a great spread from Christmas.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Headshots. I had that.
All right. What if you're traveling this holiday season to visit people and you don't know what to bring and you don't like to cook? I know a lot of people that don't like to cook. They say they can't cook. They can. They just don't like to. Because if you tell somebody that you like to cook, they're going to make you cook, and that doesn't work for you, does it? So what you got to do is pick up something on the way, or and I got to tell you, and this, yes, it sounds like a commercial, and it is, this honey-baked ham stuff, they have stores all over the place. I mean, that's a good deal. That's a good deal. Hi, Molly.
Good morning.
Molly Kismilo is here with us, and we're talking about holiday entertaining with ease, which is the best way to holiday entertain, and we're talking about the traditional holiday meal with little or no prep time. Is that actually possible?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
If you go to Honey Baked Ham, it is.
Ah, there's the catch. Because they're already made perfectly. And you can't make them any better than you do. So, like, why even try?
That's right. That's right.
Actually, it's perfect for the holidays, especially in the December holidays, because everybody puts ham out on a dish, and this is like perfect. You know what I do, to be honest with you, to disguise it a little bit, to make it look like I didn't just get the honey baked ham, even though I, you know, tell people proudly that I do. I just add some stuff on it, even just a piece of parsley. Yeah, and it looks like I had some hand in this.
That's right. Put it on a pretty platter, put a few sprigs of parsley around it, and nobody has a clue.
Nobody has a clue, except for the branding on the ham itself. Now, but it's not, you don't, it's not just hams. I know it's honey baked ham stores, but it's not just hams.
No, we're way more than hams. We've been around for 60 years now, so we're known for our hams just because of the quality of our hams and the ease of serving our hams. But most importantly, we're known for that sweet, crunchy glaze that everybody likes to pick off that ham. But we have turkeys, turkey breasts. We do side dishes. We do desserts. You can get all your holiday pies with us. You get the whole meal in honey baked if you really want it to be effortless. That's the ticket.
Yeah, it is. You know what you should start doing maybe next year is just make the skin. just the crispy skin. And
we get a lot of requests for that.
Do
yes,
you really?
We do.
Okay. Well, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time that you start doing this.
Yes.
You know, just for 1 year and then see how it goes. I don't know. Okay. All right. What other... let me just change gears here. Honey Baked Ham is involved in an organization now that does some good for people. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, we're really excited this year and proud to be supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. And we're going to work with them in three different ways this year. And first and foremost, we'll be supporting our first responders through donations to the Gary Sinise Foundation. So our customers, when they come in our stores to purchase their hams and turkeys and side dishes, they can make a donation right at the register as they complete the sale. We're also working with the Gary Sinise Foundation by donating 250 hams and turkeys to families of fallen soldiers as well as first responders. And then thirdly, in addition to those things, we're also delivering meals to those first responders that won't be able to make it home for the holidays. They'll be working, so we're going to be out at firehouses and police stations across the country and dropping off holiday meals to those folks. So we're really excited about the partnership and getting involved with the first responders in our local communities and also at a national level.
Nice. Very nicely done. Okay, let's get back to the food. I mean, I'm sorry to be...
that is the important part.
Sounds so cold after you do that to start talking. But I'm going to do it anyway. What other things can I do to make this an easy holiday for me?
You know, I because I work for Honey Baked Ham, I'm busy right up through Wednesday night.
Oh.
But I serve that holiday meal on Thanksgiving, and everybody says, how did you find time to do this? Well, on Wednesday when I left from work, I went to a store and I brought everything home with me. And everything's so easy. Our side dishes are heat and serve. Our desserts, you take those pies, they're unbelievable, pop it in the oven, it's ready to go. And then the ham, take the foil off, get it to room temperature, and it's ready to serve. And you can't get a better ham anywhere. So when people ask me how I do it and how to make it simple, go to Honey Baked Ham. That's the bottom line. Just go to Honey Baked Ham.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, there's no clearer message that you could give me. So, okay, I will.
And while you're there, support our first responders while you're there.
Well, it's also clear. Okay, fine. How do I find out where a Honey Baked store is? I know I can do it online, but I like to walk into stores and look at food.
The easiest way to find our stores is to go online, www.honeybaked.com. We have a store locator. It will list all of our locations.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can call 1-800-4-HAMS, and they will also give you, there's a button you can push to get locations if that's easier for you. But we have locations all across the country. We're over 400 locations now.
Mm.
So plenty of places to shop.
Great. And when you go into the Honey Baked Ham store, tell them you want that crispy skin.
You want a handful of glaze to take home.
Handful of glaze.
And add a little bit of ham with it.
Okay, right, if you got any left. Have a great holiday,
right,
Molly.
That's right.
Enjoy. Thank you so much.
All right, Ron, thank you.
Okay.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your horoscopescape for the month. Let's see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, there are just two words for your month ahead. Regrettable tattoos. Pisces, remember that when one door closes, another one opens. Usually. You probably shouldn't stand around waiting. You could try knocking politely, but... yeah... Aries, no one wants to get hit by falling space junk, but you should probably get used to the idea. Taurus, new friends and a new outlook on life are coming your way, thanks to a blow to the skull and subsequent amnesia. Gemini, get out of that bad relationship you're in, because the bad part? Yeah, that would be you. Cancer, keep in mind that naked midnight spearfishing during a thunderstorm only sounds like a good idea when you're really drunk and should probably be taken home instead. Leo, here are your two words for the month. Lengthy trial. Oh, and two more. Concurrent sentences. Virgo, just when it looks like things are about as bad as it gets, get ready to discover that you are wrong. Libra, a modeling opportunity is coming your way this month. Looks like you'll be the before picture for either weight loss or hair restoration or toe fungus removal. Possibly all three. Scorpio, change your travel plans soon. The stars are a little clear on exactly why, but apparently everyone in Taiwan hates you. Sagittarius, you're going viral this month. But a hearty dose of antibiotics should clear that right up in no time. Capricorn, you will soon hear from an old flame. Considering your track record, it will probably be about bail money or muling one more load of coke over the border, but just see where that goes. Why not? That's your horoscopescape for the month. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
That's it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.